I got so many things, I don't know what to do with them.
All right.
It's going to be a little bit different this morning. And I've got to mention this. Is Joyce here? I got to mention this. I think this is one of the... This needs to be written down somewhere. Because she saw... Thank you, by the way, Brother Henry, for these wonderful nuts. Walnuts. And somebody did... How many has ever hauled a walnut before? We call them hull or shell walnut. Hey, that's hard work. And somebody did a lot of shelling to get this little bit of walnuts. And Brother Henry brought these to me. And Sister Joyce saw those up there, and she says, you use a lot of props in your messages. Are you going to preach that we're just a bunch of nuts? If I would be preaching that, I'd be preaching about myself, because I'm the biggest one in this jar right here, okay? How many knows to the world, you've got to be a little nutty to follow Jesus? To the world. Okay, but you know, it's all good, because God is really working. This is going to be a little bit different today, because I've asked some people to help me, and I'm going to ask you all to help me today. And Carly, before we do this, I've got this young lady right here wrote something. Send this to me back. I don't know, a few days ago, she sent this to me. And she really writes a letter to herself. And it's a powerful thing. She posts some of those things and about her, what Jesus means to her and what the Lord's doing in her life. And Carly has her family today with her. And that's an awesome thing. We can bring our family with us. And I felt like I asked her to read that Wednesday, and she did. I wanted to read this. Rather short, but it's really powerful. And it's a letter to herself about what the Lord means to her and how deep this is in her relationship to the Lord. So, Miss Carly, and I know she's nervous. She texts this morning. She says, I'm real nervous, Pastor R. I don't know. I'm real nervous. So, you know what can really help with nerves is somebody to know that you're behind what they're doing. So, if she comes right now, come on, Miss Carly, come on right now. I want you to let her know. She's a junior at J.I. Burton, and she's going to read this.
The title of it is A Letter to the Girl with Fire in Her Spirit. It says, the girl grew up in church. She knew what her morals were. She knew what her priorities were. She knew right from wrong. She had a love for people that could only grow stronger. The girl loved waking up early on Sunday mornings. As she would curl her hair, she had Newsboys playing on Pandora, singing to the top of her lungs. She knew every lyric and took to heart what those lyrics meant. Those songs stuck in her head like glue. She'd find herself at school walking down the hall singing those songs in her head. The girl wasn't ever afraid of her passion for the great Lord above. She was a big part of the Christian group at her school. She loved being the person people would come to when they needed prayer. There wasn't anything like hearing from people how she inspired them. The girl lived for Sunday mornings. She would sit in the first row at church, raising her arms during worship and getting lost in her love for the Lord. She had so much passion for worship time during church. She would turn to the verse the pastor would read aloud and highlight it. She would place the gum wrapper from the gum she was chewing that in that page so she could go back and read that passage later. She would dwell on what all the verses meant, and she would try to apply it. The girl couldn't wait until after church. When 6 o'clock rolled around, she would be right back to the church. She would find her friends and sit with them and talk about how God has been moving in her life. She would love the moment that they would ask everyone to find a partner to pray with, because after all, prayer fixes all. She would come to the altar and go down to her knees crying, asking God to move in her school, family, home, and every relationship she had. Wednesday was her favorite day of all, because after a long day of school, she would come to church and it would be her getaway, her stress reliever. She loved seeing all her church family. She loved praying over the impossible prayer box, just knowing that God can break every chain. She loved being able to hear a good lesson by whoever was preaching that night. That girl was me. I had a fire in my spirit since the day I asked God into my life. It's important to keep that fire going. It's important to spread that fire. It's important to remember your goals and priorities. It's important to know God and have a relationship with Him. It's important to keep that fire in your spirit.
That's good. Amen. Amen. A lot of preaching in that letter right there. Very good, Carly. It's good. Pastor R is proud of it. It's very good. I want you all to help me out today. I need you to help me preach. Okay? And so I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit unusual. And I've asked some people help me out to do some role playing. So we're going to do some role playing. The greatest demonstrative preacher that I've ever known in my whole life, his name was Jesus. And he taught by using parables or using stories. And sometimes he taught by using object lessons. Jesus taught, because sometimes we're not all just auditory listeners. Sometimes we're visual learners. And we grasp what we see. So God is doing something powerful here today. And he desires to do something powerful in your life. And he wants to show you something today. God took this moment and this time to visit you. The Lord is here today. And he took this moment to come here today to share a word with you. A word with you. So today we want to listen and we want to learn. And we want to see what God is going to do. Because I believe God is going to minister to hearts in a powerful way. He already has done that. The Lord woke me up early in the week, and I've actually shared little pieces of this already throughout the week because it's never been able to escape me. But, you know, the story that we're going to talk about today primarily is a story that we've all learned since we've been kids growing up in school or in Sunday school, in children's church. And a lot of times ministries or pastors or preachers or teachers can stay away from these simple but powerful stories because they say they're too simple. But listen, friend, Jesus was a powerful teacher, but he was a simple teacher. He taught in power. And the Bible said it was spoken of him, and when he taught, that never a man ever spake like this man. Because his words were more than empty tales. They were anointed words that reached into the hearts of the people that he spoke to. That's what caused people's eyes to open and their ears to open and hear what the Lord has to say. So turn to somebody and say, let's hear what the Lord has to say today. And today we're going to talk about an illustration. I'm going to read this. And in a minute I've asked some people to help me walk through this so you can see it. So you can see it better, so you can visually see it. I know we hear the word and we get the images in our head, but we want the Lord to show something to us today and do a little bit of role play. And this is found in the book of Luke chapter 19. By the way, remember Mrs. R today. She has got a back issue. She's had two back surgeries back years and years ago. And we're not saying anything like that, but she just, from time to time, she has back issues. So she got up this morning, wanted to come, but, you know, it was really, really, really hard. So just whisper a prayer for Mrs. R. 19th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning at verse 1. If you want to stand, you can. If you can't stand, then that's okay. I want you to continue to pray for Sister Juanita, Billy's precious, precious wife. We miss Juanita. And she's in care, medical care assistance out in Why? So let's pray for her. Is everybody there? One person is there. Okay. I said, is everybody there? Okay, you got to help me out now, okay? Verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. His name means pure. Okay? And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was well off. Okay? Verse 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd. You got those images up there, Miss Becky? If Becky is here today. It's good to see you, Aaron. Wow, I just noticed you back there, man. It's good to see you today. The Bible said he sought to see who Jesus was. I want everybody to say this with me. And he sought to see who Jesus was. I hear more over here. I know this is my better ear, so this is my bad ear. So I want you to say it with me right here today. Verse 3, beginning. Everybody say it with me. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd. For he was of short stature. He was a very short man. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Then when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Get in a hurry, Zacchaeus. Come down, for today I'm going to stay at your house. Everybody say today. Today the Lord is going to stay at your house. The Lord wants to go home with you. How many knows that would be a pretty awesome guest to have go home with you for dinner? Amen? Well, the truth is, if you're here and he's in your heart, he eats with you every day. He goes home with you every day. He's with you when you get up. He's with you when you, listen, when you retire at night and lay down. He's with you through the night. He's with you on the job. He's with you everywhere. And when you go back home to rest your weary legs and your tired arms at the end of the day, if you've been working all day, guess what? He comes to dinner with you every day. Isn't that an awesome thing? So in verse, the Bible says, make haste, come down, for I'm going to stay at your house. In verse 6, so he made haste. He came down and received him joyfully. Everybody say joyfully. Amen. That's what Jesus will do in your life. He'll give you joy. There are some people need to drink a lot of joy juice. Do you not understand that Jesus will give you joy? You can't find that in a bottle. Oh, you can drink a bottle and you can get hoop and holler and you can jump up and down and you can feel all the numbness of your pain for a little short moment. But listen, when the numbness wears off, and the booze wears off, guess what? You still got the pain. But listen, if Jesus is in your heart, listen, he'll be the joy that you need when life gets hard and tough. Amen. Everybody say joy. Verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained. When people around saw what Zacchaeus had done, the Bible says they complained. There were people listening there complaining, saying, he's gone home to be with a sinner. He's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Well, what about that? And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, half of my goods I'll give to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'll restore them fourfold. Everybody say restore. And Jesus said unto him, this is a powerful word today. Everybody say today. I'm here to say by the authority of God's word and by the direction of the Holy Spirit, this is your day today. I feel like saying that to somebody today. This is your day. Everybody say today. Amen. Something in my knees are getting weak right now when I'm saying that. They really are. They're getting weak when I'm saying that. Today, salvation has come to your house. Because he also is the son of Abraham in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come in to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You know, God is a powerful thing about stories that sometimes we remember and read when we're kids and growing up, and we don't take those stories sometimes because the number of times that we've heard those stories, and so therefore they sort of fade in our mind. But you know what? Jesus put them there for a reason, and it's one of the most powerful stories in the Word of God. You look at this man Zacchaeus. He looks like a man that had everything in his life together. He's got everything going for him. He's a man that's got rich. He's rich and he's got wealth. He's a man that has a great position in life. He is a chief tax collector. And that's probably on the totem pole of financial security in the days of these Jews and Romans here in the days of Jesus, then he would be pretty high up on that social totem pole as far as his income. But yet, this man had a lot of things going for him, but he didn't have a lot of things going for him. And we've been teaching and sharing about our hunger and our hunger for God and how we need to be intimate. God desires us to be more intimate with him. And as we search and hunger for God, then we find a powerful place of intimacy with the Lord, because the Lord truly does want a relationship with us. He doesn't want a weekend visitation. He wants a lifetime commitment and relationship. How many knows that God's not looking for a weekend visitation? He's looking for a continual relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so today the Lord is looking, as well as we often in life sometimes through our lives start looking for things. And the thought come to my mind, and I'm sure it's not the first person who's ever this thought, and I'm sure you've thought about it many times. Have you ever found what you're looking for? Because we are living in a world today that's looking for a lot of things. They're looking for a lot of things. There are people that came to this room today looking for something. You come here looking for something, yes. And when I lose my keys, I look for my keys because it drives me batty. You know, I'm OC. And the other night, Mrs. R had to call me down, and I lost Ben's pacifier. Can you believe that? Of all things. Listen, I'm being real with you so you can pray with me. You say, Pastor R has got an OC problem, so let's pray for Pastor R. And I lost his pacifier. And listen, I was looking under the couches. Kathy said, listen, we'll get another pacifier. And I think about a second, then I got up and I started looking again. I started looking around the dog water bowls, because Ben throws things in the little doggies bowl sometimes. I started looking in the bedroom and in the bed covers, and I started looking all over the house for that. And she says, listen, I know that you have a problem when you lose things, but listen, you don't have to worry about this. We'll get another pacifier. You know, people are looking for things today. People are looking for things. We're looking in a world today that's looking for hope. Amen. And sometimes we think that hope comes from a lot of different things. This election, which was a real prominent moment in American history, this past election, and people were looking for, answers. People were looking for things to help them with their agenda and different things. People were looking for peace. They were looking for, strength and a leader. People are looking for different things. But can I tell you, sometimes we can spend our whole lifetime looking for what we need, but we're looking in the wrong places. How many know that? Your answer is not in a man. Your answer is in Jesus Christ. Your answer is in the one that died for you. Your answer is the one that bled and died for you, that gave his life, that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Your life, your answer that you're looking for today is not in the hands of man. It's in the hands of God. Amen. Okay, Sal's out there. Sal, you're the music guru here. You're the music guy. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. Who was that song? Come on, he's going to push the button a little bit. But there are times that people look for. There are people looking for things. We spend a lot of our lives looking for things, looking for something that will bring us happiness, fulfillment, peace, and true love. Think about that. People are looking for love today. People are looking for love. No, Sal gave it to his own word. Don't worry. Listen to what the Lord's saying today. We're looking for something that will bring us happiness. Everybody say happiness. Fulfillment. Everybody say fulfillment. Everybody say peace and true love. Everybody say true love. You know what? And we can spend our life sometimes looking for all the things that want to bring us that kind of contentment in our life. But the fact is, we can't find it in the things that are empty. Not saying that those things are not important, but we can't find it in a person. We can only try find true happiness and true joy in a life that is lived with Christ. Amen. A life that is lived with Christ. So have you ever been looking for something, but you didn't know what you were looking for? Let me ask you a question. I mean, be real. How many's ever been looking for something before, but you didn't know what you were looking for? Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? Have you ever been looking for something, but you didn't know what you were looking for? I'm just looking for something. I'm just looking for something. You know, my mom, let me tell a story on my mother, and bless her, I'm here today because of God's grace, but I'm here because she prayed for me, and she didn't give up on me. And one day I'm going to see her in heaven, and I'm going to hug her neck, and we're going to spend a lot of time, you know, just rejoicing. But you know what? She was a grazer. My mother never really sat down at a meal. She cooked meals, but she grazed while she cooked. And so therefore, she'd sit down, and the kids say, "Why don't you eat, Mom?" And her grandma or mamma, and she'd say, "Well, I'm not hungry." And Dad said, "Well, she's already ate her dinner. She's been cooking over there and eating at the same time." But I remember as a kid waking up, and even as an adult, being up her house staying. And sometimes I'd hear her inside the kitchen piddling around. I hear the, you know, pots and pans. I hear, you know, jars rattling in the refrigerator. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Come on, you know what I'm saying. She be in there looking for something, searching for something. I go in, I say, "Mom, what are you looking for?" She says, "You know what? I'm hungry, and I got this pit in my stomach, and I don't know how, I can't find what I'm looking for to eat. I'm just looking for something to eat, and I don't know what it is. I'm just hungry, and I don't know what for. I'm just hungry, but I don't know what for." There's a world of hungry people that are hungry, but they don't know what they're hungry for. Can I share with you who you need is Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. He'll meet your need. He'll fill that pit inside, deep inside. Amen. He'll never disappoint you. I've disappointed him, but he'll never disappoint you. The Lord is good. How many knows that the Lord is good? I'm hungry for something, but I don't know what. Many came here this morning, and I thought, well, if I had time, and I don't know if I had time, and I would be like a news reporter. If I'd had time to prompt this, I'd have somebody doing this for me. I'm a news reporter, and I go around asking people, "What'd you come here today looking for? What'd you come here looking for today?" Amen. What'd you come here looking for today? Now listen, let me tell you, let's get solve this right now. Every person in this room came here looking for something. See, some of you all, did you get that? I said, every person in this room today come looking for something. You came looking for something. You came looking for something. You're not just here. You came looking for something. Everybody come looking for something. And today, what did you come here looking for?
Brought him with me.
What did you come here looking for, though?
Jesus.
What did you come here looking for, Jody?
Jesus.
Amen. You know what? And this is all real right here. This is all real. We didn't prompt these people. But there are people here today may have not come. You know, it sounds like Jesus would be the best answer, right? Come on, let's be real. It sounds like Jesus should be the right answer. Because if I don't say Jesus, then everybody's going to say, "Whoop, man, look at that dummy." Yeah, we're a church. We should all come look for Jesus. But how many knows when we come to a corporate place of worship, we don't always come looking for Jesus. We don't always come looking for Jesus. We don't always come looking for Jesus, but it's an assurity that we are all looking for something. Some today, many came here this morning looking for something. And maybe you come, and maybe some would say, "I'm looking for peace today. I have trouble in my life. I have turmoil in my life. I have confusion in my life. I have struggle in my life. So therefore, I need peace. I'm looking for peace. Tell me where I can find peace. Tell me where I can find peace." in a world that's torn by war. If you could visit some parts of the world today, I'll guarantee if you'd interview some of those people in these Middle East countries, you'd say, what are you looking for? Most of them would say, I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for a lasting peace. There are people here today that's come looking for peace. He's a peace giver. He's a peace giver. Peace, he says, I give unto you, not as the world gives to you. The world can't give you peace. You can't find peace in the world. You can't find it in the United Nations. You can't find it in a superpower. You find peace when you find the Lord, because he's the ultimate end to the peace that you seek. He's the ultimate answer to the peace that you seek today. Everybody shout peace. Someone say here, I'm looking for healing. I'm looking for healing in my life. My life is torn by problems. I'm struggling with addiction. I'm struggling with depression. There are people here today. Listen, you walk in this room. I know we wear our Sunday go to meeting clothes. Well, you say, well, Pastor R, you got your Sunday meeting go clothes. I'm not talking about these kind of clothes. I'm talking about the facade that we wear, that we hide behind. I'm talking about, oh, we want to look good. We want to look like we all got it together. We want to look like we're strong. We want to look like we're invincible. We want to look like we know all the answers. We want to look like, yes, we're cool. We want to look like that. But on the inside, there's struggle, and there is hurt, and there's pain, and there's grief going on in your life. Some would say, I'm looking for healing, and I'm looking for that balm that will soothe my aches and my pains and my grief. Some are looking for that today. Others would say, I'm looking for a sense of belonging, being a part of, being a community. Listen, how many knows that there's a lot of people that don't belong? They don't feel like they belong. There's a lot of people who feel like they're left out. There's a lot of people that are looking for just a sense of belonging, being a part of something, being a part, being loved, being embraced, being brought in. Listen, there are people today that just need a hug. Amen. I said there are people today that just need a hug, and a hug will not cost you one red penny. Some people are just looking for a hug. Get up out of your seat right now. Get up out of your seat. Turn around to somebody. And not the person that you've already hugged 19 times, but you turn around and give somebody a hug, because everybody needs a hug. Sorry, Jim. That strong. You're a pretty big man. I didn't know I was that strong. I'm sorry. I don't want you to ever be afraid. I'm not going to do that to you, okay? Although Josh cannot say that. But how many knows that a hug is a language that everybody understands? A smile is a language that everybody's understands. A handshake is a language that everybody understands. And there's some people today that come here just looking for a sense of belonging, being a part of a community. I'm talking about a worshipers and believers. There's others that have come here for something new, something different, something real. Well, you've come to the right place, and I thank God for that. That's nothing man has done. That's only what God can do. And people all over the world, though, are looking for something new, different, real. They're looking for a shift or a change. Many are called up every day in the same routine, the same rat race, as Heath ministered one time on that gerbil wheel, going around doing the same thing. How many knows You can't do the same thing the same way and expect different results. How many of us have sometimes you've got to step out on the limb? You've got to walk out on the limb because the fruit that you're looking for, sometimes you've got to be risky. Sometimes you've got to walk to the end of the tree. Sometimes you've got to get out on the limb and reach out for who's reaching to you. Amen. If I wouldn't scare people half out of their wits, I would just take off running right now just as hard as I could. I so look forward to that big space where I can stretch my elbows and I can run as long as I want, hard as I want to. You know that's the truth, Jason. Some people just need to run. They just need to let go. They need to quit being so stiff and restrained. They just need to let go and just be who Jesus wants them to be. Some people are looking for that something different. It's in all of us. And there are people who get to the end of their life and they say, is that all there is? Have you ever done that in your life? All the things that you've accomplished, all the things that you've done, all the things you've been through, have you ever asked the question, is that all there is? Is that all this there is to this thing that's called life? But let me tell you who gives you abundant life. Let me tell you who come to give you more than life. Let me tell you something, who come to give you something above that and beyond. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above. So some people today are looking for real love. They're looking for, again, acceptance. They're looking for a hug. They're looking for a smile. Not to be judged or hated. We live in a world that's full of hate, friend. You don't have any problem fighting hate. Hate is everywhere. You walk out down the road, you get hate. People just hate you because you look different. People just hate you. Listen, because you act different. There are people that hate me, and they don't have any reason to hate me because they heard somebody else hating me. So, oh, okay, it's popular today to hate Mr. R, so I'll just hate them. People get on the bandwagon. People just want to hate people. But how many know our greatest commission is to love everybody? Amen. You love them. You love them. You love them. You love them. You don't judge them. You love them. Just love people, man. Wow. Looking for love. More than 85% of people will actually come and be a part of what you believe in, if you do believe in it, if you only ask them. 85% of people are waiting to be asked to come to church, to be a part. You say, well, I don't believe they'll come. Well, listen, it's more than a collection of people coming together and, listen, having something very inspiring and something very motivational. It's an organism of believers who really believe what Jesus said in the Word, who really take His Word face value, who believe what He said. So what are you looking for this morning? What are you looking for? There's a scripture that comes to my mind. I've been talking a lot about the Shunammite woman in the book in the Song of Solomon. That is a book in the Bible, by the way. And there are people who don't believe it should belong there because it's explicit, it's provocative, and it's really R-rated. And that means real. And it's about a woman, a Shunammite woman, who loved her beloved so much that she spent a lot of her energy and time pursuing the one she loved as he did her. The beloved is Christ. He seeks to pursue us. He's looking for us today. He's looking more for us than we're looking for him. He's looking for us. He's looking for someone that he can live his purpose and his plan in. He's looking for someone that he can walk with in the cool of the day. He's looking for somebody to walk with you in life's storms. He's looking for somebody that will be a friend. Amen. There's no greater friend you could have. No greater lover than you could have than to have Jesus. And the Shunammite woman is the bride, the church. That's who we are. In chapter 3 of the Song of Solomon, this is just, I didn't think I was going to do it, but the Holy Spirit just prompted me. By By night on my bed, I sought the one that I love. I sought him, but I could not find him. How many has ever been looking for somebody before and you couldn't find them and you got really scared? The first thing that comes to your mind is your children, right? Your children. I sought the one that I love, but I couldn't find him. So I'll rise now. I'll get up now and I'll go out to the city, into the streets, into the squares, and I'll seek the one that I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. So there was a watchman there, and I came upon the watchman in the city, and I said, "Have you seen the one that I love? I'm looking for the one that I love." Some of you today are looking for the one that really loves you. You're just looking. You've spent a lot of your life looking in the wrong places. But you got to realize there is somebody who does love you, amen. His love is unconditional, amen. He won't love you because you pat him on the back. He won't love you because you give him a gift. He won't love you, just love you because you're reading your Bible. He won't just love you because you come to church. He won't just love you because you do this or do that. He'll just love you because he loves you. Because the purest essence of this God is love. Because those that are born of God are born of love. Amen. God just loves. So I'm seeking the one I love. And listen what she said in verse 4. "Scarcely that I had passed by them when I found the one that I love. And I held him. And I would not let him go." Wow. I held on to the one that I love and I wouldn't let him go. Why would somebody let go of the one that loves them so much? Oh, why would somebody let go of the one that loves them so much? I held on to the one that I love and I wouldn't let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her that conceived me. There's a place with God that God always wants us to dwell. And that's in his presence. That's in his midst. That's with him. Him with us and he with us. Abiding in him and he abiding in us. Knowing that powerful relationship of love that we have today. So what does this pastor have to do with Zacchaeus? And I'm going to wind this down here real quickly. We're going to go through this and I want you to see this today. You got to understand that Jesus was passing through Jericho. How many remember me reading that? You don't know this. Some of you don't know this. But Jesus was on his way to the cross. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. This was the tail end of his ministry. This was before the Passion Week. This was and already going there. Realizing that Jesus was passing through Jericho. So it's significant and important enough to remember that Jesus wasn't going to go back and come through Jericho again. He was passing through Jericho, and there may never be another opportunity, a moment like this moment. Everybody comes to these meetings like this, and God moves in her heart, stirs in her heart, and God says, "I've got something I want you to do. I've got something you want to surrender. I want to challenge your heart." And we sit there and we postpone the moment, the opportunity that God is calling us into, because we say, "Well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week." But you got to understand, Zacchaeus didn't have another moment. He probably didn't know that at that time, but he didn't have another moment. Jesus was passing through Jericho, and he wasn't going to pass by Zacchaeus again. Amen. Not quite that way. So Zacchaeus, here he was. Jesus was passing through Jericho. Wow. You got to understand, everywhere Jesus hung out, woo, man, he brought a crowd with him. He brought people with him. And there were people there because they knew that Jesus, what Jesus had done. Just hang out there a minute, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Listen, they knew what Jesus could do. Never a man ever spake like this man. This is no ordinary man. Joyce, this is no ordinary man. No man can walk on the water. Wow, I've never seen a man walk on the water, but he does. Somebody said, "Where's the blind man, Kathy?" Oh, a blind man. A blind man. Bartimaeus, scoot over. Thank you. Will, He knows I can tell them that. A blind man sat by the way begging. And Jesus had done this just before Jericho, passing through Jericho. And he passed by this blind man whose name was Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus needed to see. How many of us, we all got to see. I tell you this, you'll never follow the one you need to follow unless you see him first. And everybody in the room should have shouted amen. Right there, let me back it up. Maybe you wasn't listening. You'll never follow him until you see him. Isaiah said, I see him high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. His glory was everywhere. I saw him high and lifted up. So he came behind Zacchaeus. Bartimaeus began to cry out. He began to cry out to Jesus. Jesus! 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 Well, you remember, Jesus, everywhere he went, he laid hands on sick people. Blinded eyes were open. Withered limbs were straightened. Wow! Dead people got out of the dirt. No grave could hold him. Death could not hold him. Get up from there. Get up from there. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus had already been raised from the dead. So did many other. Oh, listen. Jesus came to town. Don't you believe that there weren't people who knew what Jesus had was bringing? So the people followed him. But Zacchaeus, right? Stand over there, Zacchaeus. You're fine. So the people, this is not a funeral. This is a celebrative thing. This is a celebrative thing. I need you to be a part of this crowd today. I need you to visualize you're here today. You come looking for something, Brando. You come looking for something. You came here looking for something. Some of you thought you come here looking for, I don't know. Maybe you're looking for a friend. Maybe you're looking for somebody to hang out with. I don't know what you came looking for. But these people knew when Jesus was passing by, they had needs to be met. Here were people that had sick children that needed God. There are people here today that cried and reached to the crowd. Jesus, I've got an issue and I need you to help me with them. So get in front and behind him there, folks. Oh, what a wonderful group of people we have here. They're hungry. They're looking for something. They're looking for Jesus. And Jesus is going out. They're tearing at him. They're pulling at him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They're hollering at him. Come on, come on. Help them out. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, holler at him. If you had a need, you'd be hollering at him. Amen. Stop right there, Jesus. Thank you. I said this is a role play. We've not rehearsed this, okay? You get the message so far? If you don't, I'll be glad to explain it to you step by step right at the end of the service. Promise. The message is we're all looking for something. We all need to be looking for something. Because as much as we don't want to admit sometimes we got things going on, we do. Under that pretty covering, that facade, we all kind of part of us that hungers and cries out to God. God, I need you. I need you. I need you. I like what Steve Green wrote in the song years ago back in the early 90s. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. And they were reaching out to Jesus. And let me tell you, see, the crowd was around him. The crowd was around him. Where is but Bartimaeus? You see, everybody forgot about Bartimaeus. I mean, Zacchaeus. Okay, I know. All right. He's good. He's really good. He's really good. That's right. That's right, Heath. We did forget about him. Not only did we forget about him, but most of the community that he lived in forgot about him. Because they hated him. Have you ever been hated by people? I have been hated by people. Have you been hated by people who, because of maybe your past, hated because of who you were, where you came from, what you did, kind of sin you committed? Have you ever been hated by people? There are people today that just get high on hate. Oh, you need to change your addiction. Amen. You need to change your addiction. You need to get high on Jesus. You need to get high on love. Amen. Love God and love people. But he couldn't get through the crowd. The crowd was too great and he was too small. So you can just picture Zacchaeus. I appreciate you, Trevor. Hang in here with me. I'm here. Don't somebody see me? Listen, I meet people every day in the Walmart. I meet people every day in the grocery store. I meet people every day pumping gas at the gas station. And all day long, they come in. And listen, they look broken. They look hurt. They look like their eyes are empty. Their souls are empty. They're searching. They're looking. And they're saying all the time, don't anybody notice me? Don't anybody notice me? Don't anybody notice me? I minister to inmates behind the wall constantly. Harlots and he, different ones here do the same thing. To people who are just saying, somebody listen to me. Somebody just notice me. I'm here today. Jesus. And he couldn't see him. So he said, oh, I know what I'll do. I know Jesus is going to pass right through this street. And I'm just smart enough to know that if I can get up in that big sycamore tree when he comes passing my way, I'll get to see him. I'll get to see him. He didn't even say anything about the Lord seeing him. He just said, I want to see him. So he runs to the sycamore tree. He runs to the sycamore tree. Come here, Jesus. And again, they're all around Jesus. They're all around Jesus. But Jesus was passing that way. I'm going to say this today. As busy as your life is, Jesus loved you enough today. He's passing right by where you live. Oh, he's passing right by where you live. He knows where you live. He knows where you've always lived. Passing that way. The Bible said he looked up and he saw him. Jesus already knew he'd be there. That's why he came to Jericho. Because he knew one man needed him today. I'm going to say this. I've seen God do this. I've seen God show up in a place just for one person. I've actually seen that God would show up just for one person, because that one person needed his love. Seemingly, those who listen have done more, loves more. Those who have been forgiven for much will love for much, and those who begin for given for less will love less. Jesus come and listen, he's looking for people that are looking for him. But yet that day was a day different from any day Zacchaeus had ever known, because he was hated. He's a tax collector. Now some theologians don't believe that he was a dishonest man. I don't believe he got rich by just cutting everything proper the way he should. I believe that he was a chief and he had power. And so he could have taken money unjustly. He could have taken money from people. Regardless of how he did it, he was a rich man. And he was hated by other people because of what he'd done. Wow. Isn't that awesome that we think we deserve love when we've got bad things going on in our life? And then when other people got bad things going on in their life, we think they don't need the love that we needed. How many of us, we all need love? Listen, leave fixing to God. You just love him and let God do the fixing. You do the catching and let God do the cleaning. He'd been doing it awesome for a long time. And he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus. Woo, Zacchaeus. How you doing, bro? That's today. He didn't say that in the Bible. Zacchaeus. He knew his name. Nobody in the crowd didn't even know he was there. How did he know his name? Isaiah 43 and 1 says, I know you by name. God knows your DNA. He knows your name. He knew you. Jeremiah 1, he knew you when you was your mother's womb. He knew you. He knew you. He anointed you. He anointed you. And he called you to be a prophet among the nations. God knew you while you was in your mother's womb. God knows you today. He knows you by name. He's looking. In fact, the Bible says, your name is written in the palm of his hand. Wow, think about that. Everything about your life is written in the palm of his hand. He knows you. So why are you hiding? Why won't you quit hiding and running? Run, don't run from, but run to the one who loves you more than you could ever fathom. I'm not talking about religious kind of love that loves you with conditions. I'm talking about an unconditional love that will love you even when you mess up. When you mess up, he tells you to get up. When you mess up, fess up, and then by all means get up. Amen. Because a prerequisite to forgiveness is repentance. A prerequisite to forgiveness is repentance. See, God, Jesus knew Zacchaeus in that tree. Zacchaeus, boy, come on down here. Make haste, get in a hurry. Some of you need to get in a hurry. You've been on turtle speed for a long time. You need warp speed. You need to run to Jesus. I knew a lady one time that plowed everybody out of her way. She was so desperate for Jesus, she ran and hit that altar so hard that I never seen anything like it in all my life. She was desperate for Jesus. Listen, you'll never know how much you need him until you realize he's all you need. He's all you have. We've got all these choices today. We've got all these choices. Well, why do I need Jesus? I've got this going. I got that going. Because when you lose everything, you'll find that he's all you got. Amen. He's all you got. Zacchaeus had no friends. Everybody hated him. He was despised. He was ostracized. He had no sense of community. He was hated. He was a little man with a big problem. Some of you here today, you got big problems. You got big problems today. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. A little man with a big problem. He was small in stature and he was overlooked, invisible to some, ignored by many, never measured up. He never fit in. Hang with me. Have you ever felt like you never measured up? Have you ever felt like you was always trying to be included? I spent a lot of my young life like that. Come here, Romo. Are you with me, my brother? Okay. Ever felt like that you didn't measure up? This is where you needed to be. But this is where you were. Ever felt like you never measured up? That you didn't matter? You don't matter to people. You don't matter to people. What matters to people sometimes is how much you got. What you wear. What you drive. Oh. But what matters to Jesus is where you are and what he wants to do in your life, because he loves you. He loves you. You matter to him. Everybody shout, I matter. You matter. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Zacchaeus, I'm getting ready to rock your world. I'm going home with you today. I'm going home with you today. Wow, you imagine out of all those people that day, Zacchaeus, how his day ended when he took the King of Glory, the very one that would die for him on the cross, that very one that he heard all these awesome stories and powerful events about, looked at him and saw him and spoke to him and called him by name and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going home with you. And so I will tell each of you here today that there's a God in heaven reaching up to you, looking for you, and knocking at your heart's door. And he said, somebody open up so I can come home with him today. You know what really makes home? It's Jesus, my friend. Oh, we got houses. We got beautiful houses. We got kids. We got dogs. We got cars. We got things. We got all this stuff. But that's not what makes a house. That's not what makes a home. What makes a home is the love of family, the love of God, the love of Jesus that's shed abroad in your heart. That makes you a rich man. Amen? A rich man. I'm going home with you. So he gets Zacchaeus. You guys can sit down. Let's give him a big hand today. Thank you. Or you can sit right there, guys, if you want to. You can continue to be biblical right here. Zacchaeus, I'm going home with you. So he went home with Zacchaeus. He went home with Zacchaeus. This was a unique opportunity, but he couldn't pass it up because Jesus would never quite be in the same spot again. I want to say to you this today. This has been a little bit crazy to some, a little bit weird to some, a little bit long, a little bit whatever. There's all kinds. I'm getting all kinds of reviews. I know I'm getting reviews. You know, too loud, too emotional, too sweaty, too long, too. You know, I'm getting reviews. I can see it in your head. I'm getting reviews. But God is reviewing your life. And he's looking for somebody to open their heart so he can go home with them. So he can invade your space with grace and revolutionize your life. Zacchaeus, although he wasn't one of the 12 followers, became a devout follower of Jesus. He followed him continually the rest of his life. Because, listen, once Jesus come in the house, come on, Jesus. This is Zacchaeus' house. Cool pad. Once Jesus got in the house, everything changes. Your dark turns to night. Listen, your struggle comes to joy. Amen. Your tears, amen, turns to happiness. Your weakness turns to strength. Zacchaeus began to tell him. The Bible doesn't explicitly say he repented, but this is how we know he did. Lord, if I've done anything wrong, I'm willing to make it right here. If I have unjustly taken anybody from anything from anyone, I'll be glad to repay him. I'll give half of everything I've got. You know what? If God's got your heart, he's got everything about you. He's got your pocketbook. Oh, you didn't have to throw that one in there, Pastor R. Now you're meddling. You're talking about money. You're talking about that kind of thing. You know, you were doing good, but now you're talking about something that's not cool. Because, listen, if God's got your heart, he's got all of you. He's got all of you. If he's got your heart, he's got all of you. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of your heart, if he's got your heart, he's got everything. Dakota. Listen to what Jesus said, and this is what he's getting ready to say to others here today. Thank you for being so patient today. Thank you. I truly mean that with the depths of my heart. I feel like today that people have, the Holy Ghost is telling me that people are opening their hearts. They're opening their hearts. People are opening their hearts. If Lost Creek, the vision of Lost Creek continues to be blessed, we got to be a people that's always got to be willing to open our hearts. Embrace a vision that is bigger than yourself, bigger than your world. And Jesus said to him, oh, I love these words. God began a restoring work in Zacchaeus' heart. And Jesus said to him, today, everybody shout today. Zacchaeus, today your life is going to change. You're never going to be the same after this day. I promise you, Zacchaeus. Get ready for a great adventure. Get ready for the most awesome life you could ever live. Are you still going to have problems, Zacchaeus? Yes. You're going to have some sad days. You're going to have some hard days. You're going to have some battles. You're going to have some fights. You may even struggle a little bit. But Zacchaeus, you know what is the best thing to remember here? I'm with you wherever you go. And I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll be with you. I'll be with you when you close your eyes and sleep. I'll be with you when the angel of death comes and takes you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you even through the storm, Zacchaeus. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you through your problems. I'm going to be with you through your struggles. Just know this, Zacchaeus. Every day might not be a day of sunshine and roses, but I'm always going to be the sun that shines on your day. Amen. Because I love you, Zacchaeus. Do you love him today? Do you love the one that seeks you? Today, Zacchaeus, you had it. Salvation has come to your house. Deliverance, the word salvation means to be delivered. Deliverance has come to your house today. To your house. Listen, to your house, not just you, Zacchaeus, but everybody in your house is going to find what you found today. That's a promise, friend. Do you have loved ones that need Jesus? Raise your hand. Let's be real. Come on, be transparent. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand. Come on, you got people that need Jesus? Raise your hand. Well, everybody, come on. That means everybody here. How many got somebody that needs Jesus? Or you know a neighbor that needs Jesus? Or you got a friend that needs Jesus? You know somebody that needs Jesus? The revelation that God give you today will be the revelation that will change a world around you. And that's what God called us to do, to change the world. To change the world. Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. And also the son of Abraham. You're a son now, Zacchaeus. You're not a nobody. You're not just anybody. You're not a somebody left out. You're not somebody trying to fit in. You're a son. Wow, think about that. Changing one day, one moment, from outside the fold to inside the fold. From an intruder, oh, to someone who's always feeling like they're never apart, never measured up, to now simply to the Son of God, embraced by his arms and loved, and call him a son, because he too is a son of Abraham. That's what Jesus said. He wants to call you sons and daughters today. Think about that. That's powerfully intimate, if you ask me. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And today, Jesus is looking for you. He's here. He's passed right by you today. You've been sitting there and you wondering why you're feeling the way you're doing. Because Jesus is passing your way. He's passing your way. He's even calling your name. Don't you? You feel a little pressure on your heart. You feel a little pressure right there, like something knocking right there. Just a thump, 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 thump. Because Jesus is passing your way. And he said, he that hears my voice, he that heareth my voice. As you hear the voice of the Lord today, and as Jesus is looking at you, looking at you, looking right into your eyes, nobody will ever look at you the way Jesus does. I promise you that, my friend. He's looking right in your eyes today, and he's looking right into your life and right in your struggle, right in your situation, right into your sin, right into your mess. He said, I died for all that. Don't worry about all that. You just come. You just come to me. And I'll wash all that away. I'll make you my son. I'll make you my son. I'll make you my daughter. I'll make you my son and my daughter. All you got to do is just open your house up to me. Open your home up to me. So let's bow our head right now. Guys, right here, I feel right now a special thing for you all to pray for people right now. I want you to pray for people right now. I just want you to simply pray right there where you are. I want you to pray for people right now. God knows who they are right here today. And I want everybody here that's a believer today to pray. Zacchaeus, I want you to pray. Zacchaeus, I want you to pray, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I want you to pray, Zacchaeus. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. If you're here today and you're looking for something, you're looking for someone. You're looking for something. And you're here today. And you need Jesus. You need his help. You need his peace. You need his love. You need his acceptance. You need his joy. You need his strength. If you're here today and that's you, I want you to be honest enough and real enough. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come back to you. I'm not going to try to pull you this honor. The Lord is just asking you to trust him and come today. If you're here today and that's you, I want you to slip your hand up with mine and say, pray for me, Pastor R. That's me. If that's you, God bless that hand. Thank you for being honest in that hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being honest. God bless that hand and that hand. Thank you for being honest today. Today he wants to go to your house. Today he wants to come in. And you know he loves you. You know he loves you. You know it without a question. You may not know the depths of his love, but you know that he loves you. So today, if there's somebody else here today, God bless, that would slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, the Lord has spoke to me today. He has spoke to me today. Just lift your hand up with mine. And you know, you may want to, and you say, well, what does God bless that hand? What if I do raise my hand? What does that mean? Well, listen, that means that you've started a step of trust and faith today. Acknowledging to God, God, my life is not together. My life has been in a mess. Lord, I've been in so many different places and I've experienced so many things in my life. Lord, I need you. I need you today. I need you. I know I need you. Just be honest today. The last time I'm going to ask, be honest. How many will be honest today and slip your hand up? That's why you're here today, is because God knew. Zacchaeus was in that tree because God knew he would be there in that tree. And he's passed by this place. God bless that hand. He's passing by this place and that hand. And if you raise your hand, I'd like for you to leave it raised right now. Anybody raise your hand, leave it in the air right now, please. Leave it in the air right now. God, you see every hand, every life. Just leave your hand. God bless that hand. I'm going to ask you to do something that is beyond, wow, your imagination. Today, God is going to change your life. And he is going to change your life in a powerful way. His love is going to fill your house and home. And today, you can take Jesus home with you. Today can be the day of all days. Today can be the day of all days. Just in a second, I'm going to ask us all in one motion to stand to our feet. And those that still got their hand raised, please keep your hand raised. Those that raised their hand, when we stand to our feet on the count of three, I want everybody that raised their hand, plus more here today. There are people waiting for you. There are people going to love you and pray for you. There are people that are excited about the opportunity to pray with you and for you today and helping you to invite Jesus to come in. But it's simply saying this: Lord, come in. I've messed up, but now I know you want me to get up. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Stand to your feet. If you raise your hand, just come on right now. Just come on right now. Just come on right now. Just come on. Come on. Those that raised your hand, come on. Just come on right now. Just come on right now. Somebody here wants to. Just come. There are people here at the altar praying. Come on right now. If you want to pray, just say, excuse me, I need to go pray. Just come right now. We're going to pray with you right now. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come right now. Just come right now. Just come right now. Just come right now. Just come right on. Don't wait on anybody. Just come right on. Just say, excuse me, I've got to go pray. I've got to surrender things right now. I've got to trust God right now. Come on. There was other hands that were raised. Right now. Just trust Him right now. 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 Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody needs to give the Lord a shout of praise today. Come on. Somebody needs to give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, God. Guys, this is the opportunity of your life. You'll never have a day like today. Come on right now. Just come on right now. Just come right now. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of room. Just come on. Just say, well, Lord, if I go, the altar will think, well, they'll think what? Doesn't matter what people think. You just come and surrender to Jesus today, right now. If you're here and you need strength in your Christian life, then come today. Don't be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Never be ashamed.